I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me. God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
I have to say, I was very disappointed because the new Arn show on fucking Conrad shit, right?
Yeah.
It was recorded before he became the hottest thing in wrestling.
Gunslinger? It was recorded before that shit?
I mean, Conrad has legit the hottest property in wrestling right now, and they're doing just like there's no. I want to call him Arnie Glocklock is what I want to call him. I like Arnie Glocklock. You know, I don't. Arnie
sounds
Arnie
very Scottish.
Which one is your favorite one of the memes? Because I like the one where he's scanning his forehead with the temperature thing. I think that's
something about the. It was a four. I think I saw one something about the four horsemen, but I can't remember what it was. It was pretty funny.
The one with and James Good was throwing me all these things. The one with where he's handing him Starbucks and he's got the Starbucks thing on. God damn, there's some funny shit on there.
I really hadn't. Yeah, there probably are a lot out there that I hadn't even seen.
I gotta show you some of these because they're just like they're too fucking funny. God, they're just so yeah. It pisses me off because you know Conrad is an opportunistic human being and he usually, you know, he jumps on opportunities like that. I'm like, well, we'll get an and it was a. By the way, it was a really good episode because it's like, I think it's 85 Crockett. So there's like some killer promos and shit. And the Dusty Rhodes war with the Four Horsemen has really heated up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think what else was heating up. Oh, like Baby Doll was getting involved in shit. And they're going after the Four Horsemen. And Baby Doll comes up to Arn during a promo time with Bob Caudle. And he goes, and she just goes, hey, they told me to tell you, you're next. What are you talking about? You really? And he's doing all of his like He-Man woman hater shit. Like women are meant to go in the bedroom and the kitchen and shit like that. Whatever.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
And it was just like, it was fantastic. It was like really good shit. But I'm like, Connie, you got the hottest property in fucking wrestling right now. And you're going to, I can't believe that you're going to like not capitalize on that. And by the way, every time the guy farts, you have a new T-shirt at boxofmydick.com or whatever it is that you got. Why are we not? Where's the T-shirts? Here's one of the memes. This is one of the funny memes right here. You like that one?
I haven't seen that one.
that's the Starbucks one. Again, for those of you that are listening, it's going to be tough, but I'm sure you may have seen this one. It's Arn Anderson.
The more I look at it.
The look on Cody's face is brilliant.
I know.
It's fucking brilliant. And this is another good one. Just another. Oh, this is a good one. Sign of the times right there. He's checking it out. He's doing the temporal scan and he's got the mask on. Cody's got a mask on. Lee's got the mask on and shit. And I don't know.
That's so funny.
Did you see Roads to the Top?
No, I didn't watch it.
It's pretty funny. That's you really right. Need to watch it because I
really what was it? Seriously. It was funny. It was really funny.
No.
Okay.
It's interesting contextually. It's always all these things are always interesting contextually. What do you think of the beard, by the way? I think we've gone from Abe Lincoln to Al Qaeda. Just in the matter of not.
Well, is it a stage thing? Because my brother was kind of at that stage and now he's like full on like Grizzly Adams almost.
I don't know. I'm always kind of chicken shit out here and kind of trim it back. And then I'm not sure. I don't know where we're going with this thing, but
this is your threshold kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you at right now?
Yeah.
I say, let it go.
Got to. Well, you have to.
You got to. You're this far, dude. You got to let it go.
You can only power through it at this point. So
it's like my hair, you know, my hair is getting kind of,
oh yeah, you're rocking right now.
But, you know, I figure while it's still growing, while I still have it, let it go.
You're sort of between 87 metal bass player and 91 porn star. That's where you are right now.
I'm just missing the stash. That's pretty much it.
That's all you need. So I was interested in seeing Roads to the Top because I wanted to see
Now, did they have a lot of guest stars appear like in there, like Orange Cassidy and stuff like that?
There's a ton of guest stars. Ricky Starks is on there. Ricky Starks has an injury. They talk to him. TK. Fucking TK. Let's talk Tony Khan. I sent you the blind item. I've sent it to a few people. There's a website called crazydaysandnights.net, and they do basically a lot of blind items for Hollywood types, music industry, TV, all that shit. And sports sometimes too, also politics. And they'll put up blind items and they won't name who it is, but then they'll go back in time after a period of weeks, maybe if the story is revealed or whatever, and they'll figure out what it is. And the blind item was on this one, Tony Khan will like fire. It was like this newly formed wrestling mogul will fire people if they say something about him and give him a raise if they say something good about him in the media. And then they revealed it and it was Tony Khan. Of All Elite Wrestling. And so,
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm kind of disappointed in that. I mean, I know we talked about him in point, you're really a pro at pointing out his flaws. And I just didn't really see that in him. That was one thing I really didn't see that he would do.
He's just, I think
he seemed a little fanboyish to me. I'm too fanboyish. To be doing stuff like that.
He's very fanboyish. I think he's in over his head. I think.
Really? You think he's in over his head?
Way over his head. I think the Bucks and Cody, and that, I think that's what you're seeing right now is this power struggle where, you know, Cody is on the outs and the Young Bucks are on the ins, and this, these vice presidents are going to push him around and play him like a fucking fiddle. That's what I think.
All right. Well, while we're on that subject too.
Yeah.
Do you think there's really like dissension going on there, or do you think this is all part of an almighty, I don't know, work?
It's a work, brother. No, I think there's actual heat in between who's going to control the promotion and who has Tony's ear at a given point, and all that other shit. So essentially, I mean, I thought he was Dixie Carter, but he's actually Vince McMahon. So. Yeah. I'm not denying any of the success they've had.
See, that's why it's disappointing to me.
Oh, that he's actually Vince McMahon?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good news. I don't think he's going to book any pay-per-views in Saudi Arabia. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
Believe there is yet. That's funny.
Let's hold off.
So TK does make an appearance on the thing, and TK. I have to point this out for people who haven't been listening, because I love to think that everybody listens to every minute of one of these things that we do. But
and if you're not, what the fuck? Yeah,
what's the problem? So when TK started a promotion, they would go, people like you and me and other people go, like, is this really his qualification? Is he's read Wrestling Observer for like 30 years? That's
well, you know.
And they would go, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. He's part of the executive
something
that's running an NFL fucking franchise, okay? And the NFL's a $2 billion fucking situation, and he's running a goddamn franchise. Okay. Brian, how is the franchise that he is an executive in? How are they
can
doing?
We talk about that franchise for just half a second?
I'd like to
can we talk about the head coach particularly?
I'd like to talk about the franchise. Let's start with the franchise itself.
Okay.
How many games in a row has that franchise lost? How many regular season football games have they lost without a victory?
Gosh, I really don't know, but it's, what, seven?
Seven. Try 19.
Oh.
19 consecutive times.
Was it that many? Wow.
It is the second
longest. I was trying to be nice.
It is the second longest streak in league history. Brian, what is the number one streak in NFL history? Do you know?
I think that was the Buccaneers back then.
That would
be
the Buccaneers of the 1970s would be.
Yes. When their initial year.
Truly,
or two or three. I know
there may be some young people who are like listening now. They're like, "Oh, the Buccaneers are great. They're like best team in football. My God, Tom Brady, blah blah blah." Well, no, there was a time when they were pitiful as fuck. Okay,
yes,
they were very bad. So far this season, again, they signed Tim Tebow to own the Libs. He lasted for 2 weeks as a tight end. They had to cut him, and again, they've lost every time they've taken the field. Heading to London this week to go lose a game in another continent because it just got boring. being here in North America losing games. They're going to go over to London, where which eventually may be their future home.
Can I just throw this name at you real fast?
Sure.
The London Jaguars. That's all I want to say.
The London Jaguars. I think there's not a great deal of love in the city of Jacksonville for the Khan family. I just don't think there's a great deal of love there. I think
really,
if they were like
among the like the city itself, or like
the city the
people,
this all of it among the leadership, everything, among the people. I think there's like, you know,
yeah, I imagine the city's a little fed up with the football part of it for sure.
I think. Well, you got to think there's like way more University of Georgia fans in Jacksonville than there are Jacksonville Jaguars fans, right?
Yikes. Right? Okay. Well,
I mean, shots maybe. Fired.
Yeah.
But shit. I mean, if I'm lying, I'm flying and my feet are on the ground, bro.
Well, you know, they do get half that stadium filled in Jacksonville every time they play Florida there. So
that's exactly right. I mean, there's a huge number of, but here's the other. I mean, the other part of that is like if they said, okay, we're moving to London, they would be like, oh, no. I mean, you wouldn't want to lose our NFL franchise, but how NFL are they at this point? I mean, and I'm not saying that the Jaguars, what is the best college football team? Is it Georgia or Alabama? I'm not saying that the Jaguars could not beat Georgia or Alabama. I'm not saying that at this point. They probably roll over them like 50-0. But, you know, they suck. They're terrible, and they don't have any way out. They've got a really great, like, generational quarterbacking prospect, but I don't think they can keep him off his ass long enough to throw a pass. That's problematic. So this,
yeah, again, that's not good.
And then we had, this is the headline Bryant wanted to talk about. Urban Meyer opens up on stupid partying controversy. I should have left. This was after, they finished losing Thursday night. In overtime, by the way, they lasted more than 60 minutes this time before the Cincinnati Bengals beat him. He went to a place that he owns in Columbus, started partying, and apparently there was a very young lady, easily old enough to be his daughter, gyrating suggestively in his crotchal area. Isn't that correct? In a viral video that was released all over the place?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, he walks in all hee-haw, like, gloom, despair, agony on me. And next thing you know, he's got little blonde girls gyrating, like you said, on his knee. So, you know.
So he opens up about the partying controversy. I should have left. This is
he's such a sage.
Or as Three Dog Night once said, Bryant, what did they say?
Mama told me not to come.
Mama told me not to come. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
Son. Open up some window. Open up that window. That's the man to this room.
Let me look at the headline again from the New York Post. I should have left. No, motherfucker. You should have never have come. You shouldn't have even been there, you dumb shit.
I should now, have left.
here's another funny one from Crazy Days and Nights. There was a very interesting one a few weeks ago about a certain NFL coach, and they were implying very heavily that he had faked health concerns to get out of jobs in the past, and that there may have been illicit affairs that have gone on even in Jacksonville. If it in fact is Urban Meyer, I want to cover myself, but the blind items seem to indicate that there was some hanky going on down in North Florida. I have long said, well, not long said, I've said for a couple of weeks now, I don't think he's going to last the season. I think he's going to be the next head coach at the University of Southern California. I don't think he wants to be in the NFL. I think 3 seconds in, he figured out, I am so far in over my head. In that first game, I think they had to call timeout twice, like because they couldn't get their shit together in the first half in the huddle. That team was not prepared to play in the first half, and I think he's making around $12 million bucks a year. Because Gruden's making 10, and he was like, I got to make 12. I'm going to need 12. Yes. So, again, this is the NFL franchise that was the calling card where they go, all right, Tony, here's a wrestling franchise. You're so qualified to run it. So, that's what's going on in Jacksonville right now. But you don't
understand.
And despite all of it, Tony's had some initial success because he spent a lot of daddy's money. I mean, he's reeling out checks to Daniel Bryanson. He's I love Carl.
Daniel Bryan's.
I love that. And also he's got the CM Punk, and he's just, you know, writing check. Oh yeah, this guy. And he's got big time media contacts. He had very excellent pay-per-views. I've shelled out my own money for some of the pay-per-views. I'm happy to do it. But yeah, I don't know that his management style is going to be particularly helpful as time goes on, because I still believe these people are going to push him all over the place.
So don't you think, though, all that being said, don't you think, though, that at some point some of these guys, especially it's like some of the veterans, like the CM Punks and the Bryan Danielsons and stuff, don't you think that they would kind of see through his shit and maybe think about not signing? I mean, you know.
No, they see through his shit and they see, I can manipulate this guy and make a lot of money. I can make a lot of fucking money.
Well, aren't they scared of getting shit on in some way, you know?
I guess, but as long as they get the money, they don't care.
Okay, well, that's what I was afraid of.
This is a story from Sports Kita. Everyone abused their power. Conan speculates on backstage roles of AEW VPs. Recently reported that AEW's EVP roles had been scaled back, Bryant.
Yeah, I saw this.
Oh, this is an interesting report. We'll also go to Sports Kita for that story. The four EVPs of AEW have dramatically different roles to the ones they started with the company. They currently have four executive vice presidents. There have been a lot of changes in their roles when the company started in 2019. The biggest difference between 2019 and the current scenario is the creative process, according to Bodyslam.net. Cody Rhodes, Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, and Kenny Omega started AEW with Tony Khan as the president of the company, and the four wrestlers took up backstage roles as EVPs alongside being full-time performers in the ring. We'll circle back to that on Roads to the Top, because that does come up as far as Brandy being a top executive. However, their creative role has been diminished significantly, as the report stated that the creative is Tony Khan's prerogative entirely. Although wrestlers are allowed and encouraged to pitch ideas and come up with suggestions, all four EVPs have different focuses, according to the report. Cody was the last EVP to attend office meetings, but his creative input has decreased greatly, Bryant. Matt Jackson has been assisting his wife, Dana, with merchandise, while Nick Jackson is overlooking the Young Bucks YouTube vlog, BTE. AEW World Champion Kenny Omega is the very hands-on with AEW games, as the console game prepares for launch, and the AEW General Manager game is already out. The Best Bout Machine also plays a key role and putting together matches for the women's division, and he bangs a lot of the women perform. No, so it doesn't say that at all.
So what?
It was recently reported, that report, that Tony Khan had been asserting complete control. Conan recalled on Keeping It 100 the exploding barbed wire match not going according to plan, and Tony Khan telling him that he was mad about giving the finish to someone else. Conan also believed that some had abused their power. This is what I'm thinking, that kind of everyone abused their power, sneaking in their friends, sneaking in their own little agendas, and maybe he got tired of it. And he said, fuck this, I'm taking over. Because the other day, I can't get into what storyline it is yet because it's about to happen, Conan said. Conan said Tony Khan sent a storyline to him for his opinion, and they've had their differences in the past. He sent me a storyline that was very well done, and he goes, what do you think about this? And I said, I like it, Conan continued. You know what I'm saying? He says, all right, we'll do it together. So I think he just feels more comfortable being hands-on, because I think he knows he's going to do what's best for business, and where everybody else is hooking up their friends, they're doing what they want. That's what I'm thinking. No, they're still hooking up their friends. How did Daniel Garcia land on my television? Because Pepper Parks trained him. That's Butcher. Again, I feel like Mr. Potter and It's a Wonderful Life. You shoot pool with one of the guys on the executive committee, you can get a job down there at AEW. That's basically what's going on, right?
Well, yeah. That, but I, yeah, but didn't he see this coming though? I mean, it might just go back to what we're just talking about with Tony Khan and not being qualified. Didn't he, you know, I think everybody else saw that this was going to happen at some point in time, right?
He's a young guy, he's got a lot of money, he's been rich for a while. I don't know if he really knows how to deal with all the attention that he's getting. And I don't know if he knows how to deal with all the flattery of all those people. And he wants to be the friends of the Young Bucks, and he wants to be the friends of Cody, and he wants to keep Dave Meltzer happy, and he wants to keep everybody happy. And you can't do that if you're going to run a wrestling promotion or really any company. There's going to be a couple of unhappy people.
Right. Well, I mean, you can do that, but and not turn into VKM at the same time. You don't have That's to, true. You know,
it's you know,
there's a happy medium there somewhere.
But the, I think these guys are still walking all over the sumbitch, and I think the Jacksons are the ones that are the main culprits.
You think?
Honestly, I think so. I think.
Why do you think that? Just because? Just an observation.
It just feels like they're like, you need to listen to us. Cody's kind of over here. We'll push him off to the side. And it feels like Omega's trying to warm in, but it feels also like maybe Don Callis is trying to manipulate him in some way, shape, or form, or kind of advising him on this is the best way to get to Tony. This is the best way to kind of get him to do what you want to do. And maybe Omega doesn't want to play the political game, but there's no agnostics in this thing. Not at this point.
Hmm. Well,
That's the behind the scenes.
That's just a storm of brewing, man.
Yeah, without question. And that's going to be the storm. I mean, that's going to be to watch in the coming months as they switch over to TBS next year and continue to do all this stuff and have, you know, a lot of these free agents. It does look like, I guess, Bray Wyatt's going to be with Impact. Is that what I'm reading?
I don't know. I really hadn't seen much on that lately.
That's what I was hearing. Let me see what the latest from the dirt sheet says, because I love calling them the dirt sheets. I'm an insider. Well, Bleacher Report saying former WWE star Bray Wyatt and Impact are not close to a contract amid rumors. That's a rumor killer right there, pal.
Okay. That to me, here's the thing, man. I don't know what to think about that, about Bray Wyatt, because – you got Impact, which is, I know AEW has been trying to give them a little boost over the last few months and with their interactions and stuff. I don't know if it's helped. I really haven't looked at the numbers.
I don't think it has.
So I can't believe Bray Wyatt would go with them. But at the same time, like you're just talking, you know, you can't just be writing checks out to every fucking body that gets dumped by WWE and everything. So I can't imagine him going there either, really. So I guess one's about as plausible as the other.
What about if they open the forbidden door? What about that? I'm tired of hearing about that too, by the way. Let us open the forbidden door. I'm really sick of hearing all that shit, right?
Yes.
I can wrestle in New Japan. I can wrestle in GCW. I can wrestle in Impact. I can wrestle with MLW. Make sure your own promotion is like good before you start doing other shit, okay? How about that?
Jesus. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting here thinking about it now, and I think I still would be more shocked if he went to Impact than in AEW.
So, Roads to the Top, they're going through a bunch of stuff with Brandy's pregnancy, and she's she does look adorable with that pregnancy weight on her. I got to be honest with you, with a little full face and everything like that.
Oh, I know. She does. She's amazing. She's very huggable.
Fantastic pregnant. She's very well spoken, but there's a certain insincerity or ingenuity with her, and kind of a coldness when she speaks on camera. I'd be interested to see if you also pick up on or think I'm full of shit on that.
Well, I kind of think that anyway, just from,
yeah.
And granted, a lot of times I've seen her in character quotation marks and stuff. When we were talking about this one time not too long ago about some of these people, and she's one of them, you don't really know where to draw the line between character and how she really is, you know, because her character kind of comes off of what she seems to me like she'd really be.
She's kind of a natural. She feels like a natural heel.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to hate her naturally because she's so good looking, and they're not going to like her at all because of that. So we get to meet her parents. I think maybe the star of the show for me was Cody's sister, Margaret, who's you've seen her on Twitter and stuff.
No, I haven't seen her.
They're kind of setting her up as the Southern Belle from hell, I think, on
like a wild child kind of.
And she's always kind of a fly in the ointment. We always got to figure out what she's doing. And she's like, yeah, we got to figure out and got to make Margaret happy. They have a baby shower for Brandy, and everybody's invited, and they have, and Cody's, you know, Cody's mom is just the sweetest thing ever. And I don't think she's going to play much of a part on the show other than kind of show up from time to time. And then they go through this thing where Brandy goes, well, when I first started dating and with Cody and we first got married and I was wrestling, I started using the name Rhodes, and Margaret sends me this text the size of fucking War and Peace about why that was inappropriate and her father had worked so hard to establish it and she shouldn't use the word Rhodes. And Brandy insists that Dusty, before he died, said it was okay for her to use the name Rhodes and shit like that. So it's that kind of a situation. And then, you know, Margaret's asking, Margaret's kind of getting maybe a little tipsy at the thing. And Brandy's parents are like, Brandy's like, well, we're going to have like a sleep assistant for the baby. It's going to figure out the sleep pattern. We'll get that baby sleeping from like 9 at night to like 7 in the morning. And everybody else is like, you're full of shit. That's not how babies work, like yeah. at all.
Good luck.
And they're like, you don't need a sleep technician. Brandy's parents are like, we can be the sleep technicians. Like, oh shit, this is bad. This is really not good. So there's that. Why do you think Cody is being booed at All Elite Wrestling events? And why do you think that Arn turned on him? Why do you think Cody is being booed?
I think it has to do with what we're just talking about, man. I think it has to do with this, the whole EVP thing and the whole now that the roads to the top thing, just kind of the overexposure kind of deal.
Yeah, that stupid game show he's on where he gets Rosario Dawson.
I think
I don't know.
And I'll tell you what, man, that whole boots, leaving his boots in the ring thing, that was kind of stupid.
What was that situation?
It makes sense.
It's very odd because you can go from liking Cody, thinking he's a babyface, to you wouldn't be shit without your old man like that. I mean, if it wasn't for your old man and his name, you wouldn't be a shit in this business, and you haven't done shit in this business except coast off his name.
Man, which I know
that's something that Dustin has dealt with for a number of years. And then he developed his own character, which was, you know, of his own volition and did very, very well with it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you just got to kind of go with it. If they want to boo him, you know, you got to turn him heel, I think. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got to. I think they picked up on it. That's why Arn did what he did, because they played off the fans booing him.
But does that make Arn a babyface now?
They had to know that it would, saying what he said.
Putting a Glock and spilling people's guts all over the pavement, all over the cement.
People ate that shit up. They should have known that. I mean, I hope they weren't going for the heel role for him on that.
It's the hottest. It's like the hottest meme thing ever since the, you know, the RKO's out of nowhere. It's like all over the place. It's hot as shit. I mean, I can't say otherwise, but it's the whole Cody situation with his character on screen right now on AEW Wrestling is a big problem. It's a big problem. If you do put him over to the heel side, you know, are we starting to get too many heels? You can't do anything heel wise with Punk or Daniel Bryanson right now. You can't. It's just not their fans will not ever boo them at this point. At some point you can turn them heel, but not right now. And I
not right now. That'd be stupid.
The Cody approach right now would be just to hate on the fans and say, look, I've heard all the shit you said about I wouldn't be shit without my dad. But let me just tell you, my dad would have hated every one of you pieces of shit. And you can say pieces of shit on TNT.
Yeah. They said shit tonight on Raw, man.
This is crazy. Things are getting nuts. So, yeah, I think that's the tack Cody should. My dad would have been embarrassed to say that this business has become what it is with fans like you assholes. And just
if that's the case, then all four of those guys would be heels then right now.
Well, it's problematic because the Bucks are already heels.
And Omega's a heel.
Omega's already a heel, so they're all heels, but they can't be in the same kind of faction, right? They can't be in the same faction right now because they already got – like Adam Cole is kind of the role that Cody would be in that little faction, right?
Right.
Would you ever
question – that would be a good angle, man.
What's that? Like, Cole got the spot that I should have gotten?
Yeah, and now I like have a double switch, double turn. between Cole and Cody. That'd be great.
Who's this motherfucker? I don't even know who this guy is. You guys just bring him in off the bat. I don't understand what's going on with that guy. Wow.
This fucker was in ROH 3 years ago.
This guy was nothing.
I've
flushed turds bigger than you, Adam Cole. Baby. And then he goes after him or something like that. I'm not really sure.
That's a good idea, man. I like that.
I have lots of great booking ideas. Follow me on Instagram, B-Dub for Reels, where I...
Come on.
I don't really... I put them out here on our podcast, which is Katie Vick is Alive Alive. That's all my good booking ideas. Roads to the Top, they do the couch interviews talking about when the baby's coming and talking about how busy they are. Oh, they're the busiest people, Brian. Oh my God.
I can imagine.
Their schedules are just
nuts. I can only imagine.
Oh, my God. Their schedules are just crazy. And Brandy is a vice president of this company. She's like the only female black vice president ever in the history of wrestling. So Jade Cargill is having a little bit of a problem, I think, with Velvet. Is that what her name is?
Velvet, yeah.
So because she slapped her one time. So Brandy has to broker a lunch with them where they have to like talk about their issues and shit. It's really very natural and not contrived at all.
I'm sure.
It looks completely unscripted and the kind of the behind the scenes stuff that wrestling fans like us want to know about.
No, we don't.
At the end of the day, they settle their issues and they're going to work together and be just fine. So that's good.
See, I wish they wouldn't throw that shit in there. If you're going to do a behind the scenes thing, you know, with them, with the marriage and the whole reality show thing, that's, you know, reality, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't throw in the damn
they do that stuff
storyline shit. Don't.
Oh, and they had their little sit down. Brandy is developing a line of wine. So she wanted them to taste the and you know, since she's like,
God dang, Rob Halford from Judas Priest is doing, you know, I mean, come on. Yeah,
Rob Halford also isn't like fucking 8.5 months pregnant when they're doing this wine tasting that she can't.
Okay, wine tasting. Okay, I'm sorry.
She can't. Like, yeah. Why would you can't drink the wine? I'm going to have my friends here. Just drink that and describe it to me. And then I'm going to go ahead and go for your decision. We'll say, yes, we want to make that bottle of wine. Yes, put that on the shelves. Oh, this tastes like cherry stems mixed with pine cones. Perfect. Book it. Put it on the shelves because I can't taste it. I mean, and hear me out. We could wait until this thing gets out of my body and then I can drink some wine like a month from now. No, we need it for the show. Got to have it for the show. Now. Okay. Okay.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It was bizarre. It was odd. It's you'll like it. You'll think it's funny.
I'm sure.
I think you'll also be annoyed by it. By the way, I was watching there's a new Jake Gyllenhaal movie on Netflix.
Yay!
He plays a 911 dispatcher.
Oh no!
And some people know this. I've been doing this for like about 3.5 years now, doing the same job. And I went into it going, I'm not going to shit on this thing because I know it's not going to be like what we do. I know, because if they made a movie about what we do and it was realistic, it would be boring and people would be like, this sucks. So I'm okay with it not, you know, but at the end, it becomes like fairly comical. I mean, the shit that he's able to, first of all, one of the things that happens, like, I'm giving it up in my first 5 minutes. He's talking to somebody who's overdosing and the guy's on speed. He goes, and Gyllenhaal goes, well, you did this to yourself. So let me just say this. You can't say that as a 911 operator. You can't, if somebody is overdosing and they've called in for help, you can't go, well, you did it to yourself, pal. You can't do that. I was telling my girlfriend, there's like three realistic things, and you'll be able to relate to one of them. At the call center, at some of them, not ours, when you are taking a call, a red light goes up over your workstation. That happens in this movie. That's realistic. That does happen. The second one was, it's very hard to get in touch with the highway patrol. Whatever state it is. I don't care if it's Kansas or if it's Maryland or where it is. And he's in California during a wildfire. And it's like, come on, pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up. And then there was like a third thing that was realistic, but it was like a technical thing. And that was about it. That was it. Like the only thing. He's like, it's the greatest thing. you would think there's going to be some people that watch this go, geez, I need to get in this line of work, because you can just call people, order offers around, go out and go here and go there. And then you tell him, and then that's you do. And you can't. He's like ordering five agencies around. And you can't do it. It's not possible. So at the end, it's probably, I'm trying to think of a worse thing that Gyllenhaal's been in. He's still really good in the movie. He's very good in the movie. And there's a twist at the end of it. And if you're not a 911 dispatcher, if you don't have any history with public safety or anything, you might enjoy it. But it's some of the shit's fairly comical. Because he's like cussing at his supervisor and stuff, and he's telling the officer, just get the fucking car over there. And you can't, you don't, that doesn't happen. That never, ever, that never ever happens over there. You never yell at a sergeant or a lieutenant, just get the fucking car over there now and kick the door in. He's telling the guy to kick the door in. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. I'm trying to think of a worse movie that he was in. I can't think of one offhand, but he was good in it. And it's one of those movies where it just takes like in the course of a day, they boil it down to like a day's work. Really, it might be even in real time. But he's been so good in so many movies. Like I loved him in Brokeback. I loved him in Nightcrawler. You know, I loved him in Zodiac. But I can't think of a worse movie that he's been in offhand, off the top of my head. It's called The Guilty. It's a remake of a Danish film or something, and it's on Netflix right now.
Oh, okay.
WWE draft. I think we're done. I don't know if there's more stuff to go. Is there more stuff to go?
Very quick little, I heard Corey say at the very end, right? I mean, literally the last line that was said before it went dark was more drafts at Raw Live, whatever the little show they have on stream. They stream after the show. He goes, more drafts on that. So apparently they're drafting on that place.
I don't understand that. And they're doing draft picks on The Bump and shit like that. And I'm like, I know you're trying to pump up those audiences, but if this is going to be a big deal, you don't do it on your junior varsity shows on your whatever.
I don't know.
Hey, how do I'm you think
what's happened to Asuka? Is she done?
I have no idea. I mean, she may be getting ready to head to Omega Land. She may be ready to sleep with Kenny Omega very, very soon. He keeps rubbing his hands together and shit. Hey, you want to see my video game console? So cool. How do you think they felt about Goldberg talking about murdering Bobby Lashley about five times?
He just won't shut up about murdering him, man. That's what he was talking about last week, murdering him, and he's hanging him and
here's Vince breaking his neck
and God dang.
Here's Vince at the gorilla position. Listen to this. All right, that's good. One homicide thing. God damn, don't say it again. Oh, shit, he said it again. God damn, he's going to leave his kids orphaned. Cut. Oh, we're live. Shit. And I love, like, they go over to Corey Graves trying to pump up. Yeah, man, this should be a great matchup, but like, Crown Jewel. Yeah. Speaking of murder, well, that Saudi Arabian family, they know how to murder people, don't they? Huh? They're pretty good at that.
Hey.
I'm thinking they're maybe even better than Bill Goldberg at murdering people. Back to you. Oh, jeez. That was uncomfortable. Like, okay, you're going to be dead. Okay, he's dead. And your children will not have their father because you're going to be deceived. I'm like, fuck, dude. Seriously. God damn. Even like even an ECW, like when they would murder somebody, they wouldn't murder him five times in one promo. Fuck, dude. Shit. I'm going to take your body, bury it, and then undig you, and then fuck you in the ass, and then pour you back in, and then take you out again. And then I'm going to chop you up, and then I'm going to put you back in the ground and pour concrete on you, and then I'm going to have some Ben and Jerry's. All right, Crown Jewel coming up October 22nd.
Goldberg.
Everybody's in the crowd's like, what the fuck? What, am I cheering for the murdering guy?
Who am I cheering for? John Wayne Gacy? Who is this?
I'll do my Norm MacDonald as a salute to Norm. We're cheering for the homicidal maniac? Is that what we're doing? I'm not sure there.
Norm.
October 22nd at Crown Jewel.
It's a Thursday, everybody.
I don't even know. I'm pretty sure I'm working, so I can
watch. Won't it be during the day? Won't it be at the?
It was like at 4 a.m. or something. I thought last
time. Oh, was it? Okay.
I thought it was. I thought it was like 4 or 5 a.m. or some shit. I can't remember. Crown.
Hmm. Okay, maybe it was. Well, I guess I won't be watching it live either.
Well, they're very precise about when they have pay per views in Saudi Arabia and when they murder journalists. They want to make sure that they have a very kind of.
You like know. A promptness and stuff about it. Yeah.
You got to keep your consistency. You know, there's always a thing that you have to from the King Fahd International Stadium. It says, I don't know if we got a time. Oh, wait a minute.
Is that the same place they always go?
I don't know. Cause they kept saying Jakarta last time. Cause they didn't want to say Saudi Arabia. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Cause they were trying so hard not to say the word Saudi followed by the word Arabia. Right.
right.
They were trying to figure out because they that's bad. We can't. But now it's like fuck it. It's highly controversial. Oh, it doesn't say when it's supposed to start. Oh well.
You know, I was just thinking AEW like ought to like top them and like go put on a show in the Gaza Strip. You know.
Well, if you want to be a real dick about it and have some balls about the whole situation, is you go it's the Jamal Khashoggi like memorial show or something like that. Because, you know, they're tremendously good at exploiting dead people. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck what you say. They're exploiting the shit out of this Brody Lee thing. I know you're laughing right now because you knew I was going to say it. But God damn it. They are fucking exploiting the shit out of this guy's death. We get it. He died. You're saying, okay. And his kid is part of the family. And his wife is part of the family. Oh, look, there they are. We're in Rochester. Oh, no, she's going to save the Dark Order. Speaking of death, I wish the Dark Order would die. I wish Bill Goldberg would fucking sodomize the Dark Order and bury those motherfuckers.
Can that happen? Can we book that?
I don't mean to be like Mr. Katrarian, but goddamn, I don't even understand what the John Huber Foundation is supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be some sort of financial assistance for people who are in wrestling or something. I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say people with the best of intentions, that foundation ain't going to do jack shit. I'm just going to say,
damn. Okay.
I'm just going to say that foundation is formed to make everybody feel good. They'll have a few people grab some salaries off of it. 2 years from now, they'll just politely fold it. Or they'll have like one success story. They'll bore you the fuck out of that thing. Well, I never would have made it without the John Huber Foundation.
Damn, man.
Sorry. I got to cut a promo on these people. They have exploited the fuck out of this Brody Lee situation. And they've done it now for 9.5 months. They've been doing this whole thing, just parading this shit around. Like they somehow own this guy's images. And don't you dare criticize us. Don't you dare. Because we're still in mourning and we love Brody Lee so much. We're just going to continue to use his name and his image all over the place. Don't do it. You can't say anything bad about it. And then we're going to bring his wife out. We got his kid over there doing some more spots and shit. So don't you think that we're exploiting this situation because we're back in Rochester. We would have been in Rochester anyway. But did you know that it happened to be his hometown? And by the way, do you see what they did? They went to a petting zoo or something in Rochester. Like Cody and the guys went out to a petting zoo.
No.
I'd say you cross a line with fucking exploitation at some point. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I mean, I know it was a tragic death and I know that he left young children in his wake and shit, but to have her out there in an angle like, oh God, no Dark Order. You have to pull it together. No, you don't have to pull it together. The Dark Order needs to fucking die. Colt Cabana needs to go over to McDonald's and make $20 an hour or whatever he's doing. Cause he's doing shit. He's riding the gravy train as hard as anybody. And I wish one time backstage at an event, CM Punk would just wander upon him and just slap the shit out of it. I wish that could happen. I mean, really, honest to God, if that promotion wants to give me one backstage gift, have him slap the shit out of Colt Cabana. How could we not
have that? That'd be nice. And have somebody film it. That'd be great.
So clearly you agree with me that they're exploiting the death of Brian.
Well,
you may not be as hardcore. I don't know, you may not be as hardcore about it as I am.
Well, I'm not. But I don't know. You may be absolutely right. I just can't go that far with it. All right. I don't know.
Does it make you uncomfortable at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because they've already started the every week saying. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. And that was a Brody Lee thing.
Well, there you go.
You know, that was just
That's kind of a, that's a decent salute to him or something, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Just do that.
Just do that. Twice a week, because they say it on Friday nights too.
Right. Apparently, Crown Jewel is going to be in Riyadh.
Oh, the cap.
Let me think. Who is that big, the general during the first Gulf War?
Oh, yeah.
The fat guy.
Yeah, the big, kind of the big square jaw.
And Schwarzkopf.
Schwarzkopf, yeah.
Okay. So, my former father-in-law was a general in the Army, and he was actually fought in the first Gulf War. Didn't have a lot of good things to say about Schwarzkopf. He basically said that fat ass was eating room service and like sleeping in the middle of the night over in the hotels and those luxury hotels in fucking Riyadh. They had to wake him up and tell him, oh yeah, by the way, we just won. We just beat his ass and drove him out of Kuwait. So go back to sleep and order some Eggs Benedict, you fuck. And then, so that's essentially what happened.
Wow. Never knew.
He got in a little trouble for that because he reviewed the book and he essentially called it fiction, and some people in the military called him and said, no, that's not a great idea. That's not what you could have done.
Wow.
Back to the draft. Night two picks, Raw gets SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch, the almighty Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins. He will be staying with his wife on Raw.
Well, yeah. God dang, man. Do they just go shopping together and get these wild-ass shit to wear to the ring just so you can outdo each other?
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find you the most outrageous. You'll never wear this. There's no way. They're going to go to like Goodwill stores and shit like that. And like, you'll never wear this. This is some shit that Minnie Pearl wouldn't even put on. He's like, fuck that. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer, motherfucker.
Nobody knows. I don't know what this character is, and I haven't seen the whole sit down with Seth Rollins with Steve Austin, but I know they come to one thing where he's talking to him about Jim Cornette and ROH, because Cornette talked him out of signing a contract with TNA, and he's like, Austin's like, God damn, I love Jim Cornette. Yeah, tell me something about him. And Rollins goes, well, there's a tiny smidge of heat about some of the stuff he said about Becky when she got knocked up. So, God damn, that's crazy. I loved you, Cornette. That son of a bitch can cut a promo. He says, yeah, a little bit of heat.
Crazy
there.
Jim.
Yeah, Rattlesnake. A little bit of heat there about his wife, about my wife, and some of the shit he said about me impregnating her and stuff. But yeah, I like Jim. A little heat there. U.S. champion Damian Priest on Raw. AJ Styles and Omos.
What'd you think about that Jeff Hardy thing at the end with Austin Theory?
First of all, Austin Theory gets like no pop at all, right? Gets like zero pop when he comes in. Hey, it's Austin Theory! The crowd's like, crickets. And he does his little babyface thing. And then it felt like Vince Russo booking to me, right? It's like, oh, swerve, right? That's what it felt like.
Oh, yeah. It was so obvious.
Like, super swerve. It's going good. So, I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. It was kind of stupid, but it's on the Raw scale, on the grading curve for Raw, it was about a 5 in terms of the stupidity that we've seen from and Lily.
Let's be honest. Nashville is a pretty dead crowd.
Nashville is where Katie Vick happened.
It left its mark, apparently.
We salute you, Nashville, for being that. When they showed the video, the crowd was like, oh no. And I think like Terry Runnels was supposed to do a backstage, and they were like, we're going to commercial. Go ahead. Just go to commercial.
Yeah.
So, like if you're Meineke or somebody and you like got your commercial right next to somebody sodomizing a corpse, you're like, I'm
Meineke.
Can I get some bonus spots for that shit? Because I don't. It turns out we don't have a lot of people that really are into the whole like necrophilia thing. So if I could just get with my account executive, so we could just go ahead and get that shored up pretty good. Yeah, as it turns out. KO is on Raw. The Street Profits.
Oh my God.
Finn Balor, Karrion Kross, Alexa Bliss will be staying on Raw. However, Lily has been drafted to SmackDown. Carmella and then Gable Steveson, as you point out, who signed one of those name, image, and likeness deals. Somehow, I don't know how he did it, but he's got Major League Hollywood representation, possibly through Nick Khan's old agency at CAA. And he's got one of those name, imaging, and licensing deals, just like that quarterback at Alabama and all the great ones.
You know, it's like that. We caught Gable and his family at home when he was announced when he was drafted.
How lucky! How fucking lucky are we just to get that shot?
They were so stunned.
Now the big storyline, of course, was like if the Usos weren't going to be drafted to SmackDown, I believe. Wasn't Roman Reigns going to murder Paul Heyman? Wasn't that what was going to happen?
I believe there's a lot of murdering going on the last couple of weeks.
with Goldberg, some Jew-on-Jew violence. He's going to get in there and rip him apart, put him in the wood chipper. That's pretty good. They drafted the Usos, and they look at Paul Heyman backstage, and he's like going up to heaven like, thank you, thank you. But supposedly Paul Heyman had connections that was going to allow that to happen, so I don't know who he was exactly thanking. Maybe Vince, or Vince is the big man upstairs for Paul Heyman.
I guess so, you know. It must be what it was.
Sasha Banks is going to be on Friday Night SmackDown. Shinsuke Nakamura with the great Rick Boogs is going to be on SmackDown. Sheamus, who needs a reboot and probably could do okay with that, he's probably going to benefit from heading to SmackDown as well as
Shawn Baszler. Yeah, I would think so.
Xia Li, the Viking Raiders, Ricochet. Boy, you talk about a guy who's looking for a comeback on Friday nights. That would be that dude right there.
That'd be nice.
Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, Cesaro Friday nights, Ridge Holland, who I'm not familiar with, and Sami Zayn.
He's an NXT guy.
He's another NXT guy. Okay. I was happy for Aliyah coming up to the main roster. I'm because she worked really hard for it. But again, I think she's one of those. She could be fired within 6 months. Like if they can't get some traction with her fairly quickly, I don't see a lot of hope for her up there.
I don't know, man. It's going to be – when was she picked? I missed this.
That may have been on one of those on the bump over the weekend.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. They took her
– wow.
Maybe on Saturday. Yeah, she's going to be on the main roster, and I'm not sure if she's going to be on Mondays or on Fridays, but she's coming.
Wow. I had no idea.
After working a bunch of different gimmicks and seeing a lot of girls pass her by, she is finally going up there.
You didn't see Dakota Kai on there anywhere, did you?
I did not see Dakota Kai, and I'm now being informed by the internet that Aliyah will be on Friday night SmackDown.
Okay.
Friday nights, you'll be seeing her on the Fox television network, Dakota Kai. Let's take a look. Any news about Dakota Kai? No, there's nothing definitive, just this from Give Me Spore that Xia Li and Aliyah and Dakota Kai were all set for major roster call-ups. That she was expected, but I haven't seen anything.
Maybe Dakota will be picked in that thing they're doing post show, post Raw tonight.
Possibly, that might be a thing that's happening. It might even be as we speak here. So I'm hoping for. I think that Drew McIntyre is probably going to get a benefit from going to Friday nights. I think that's going to be a
McIntyre and Reigns, man, that'd be awesome.
I think that the two of them going head to head will be good. Drew needs a little bit of a reboot, as I talk about. Certainly Ricochet. God, it's just hard to imagine, as hot as that guy was just a couple of years ago, how they cooled him down and made him into a jag in no time flat.
For no reason. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Look at what they've done with Mustafa Ali. I mean, he was hot as balls for a half second. They had him, and they were really playing up his law enforcement background, and then he was part of that shitty faction that lasted whatever. I can't even, Damage? What were they called? Was that what they were called?
Redemption or something? I don't know.
They were terrible. And then now he's getting this reluctant tag team with that other guy now. And I don't even know what's going on with that guy.
Yeah, I don't need that. That's becoming a mess.
Creative just swerved him all over the fucking road, you know?
I thought that was coming along pretty well back when he was doing his cop background thing, you know? I thought that was something to play on, but
I watched the documentary. They did a great job with him, and he was talking about his time as a cop, and I was like really relating to it, because apparently in Chicago they have the same 10 code for a weapon as we do. It was a 1032, because he's talking about a guy with a gun coming at him and stuff, and I was like, well, this is pretty intense. And then they petered out on that and they started whatever that faction was. And that thing sucked the balls. And then I don't know.
And here we are with Mansoor.
Yeah, they don't, and they don't want to be together. They're the reluctant tag team, which is always good.
For some weird reason. I don't know. Yeah.
Meltzer writes, the football game tonight is Vegas Raiders against the Chargers. Should not be as big as last week. Yeah. I don't know. Pretty big. Fairly big. Kind of big. Maybe not as big because the Packers were on and all that stuff.
Still. I don't know. Raiders, Raiders still have a following.
They had more fans. They probably had as many fans in the stadium as the Chargers did. Many fans.
Yes.
Because I kept thinking the Raiders were down 21-0 at the half, and I just remember going back again to my childhood. Maybe the first Monday night game they ever played in L.A. in the Coliseum. They were down 21 or 28-0, and I think it might have been to the Chargers. They came back and won that game on Monday night. That's back when the Raiders were just untouchable on Monday night. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, in the 1970s, they were 9-1-1 on Monday Night Football. I mean, they were
crazy.
Like, you couldn't touch them. They had the best record.
That was when the Raiders, they were playing top competition, too, on Monday nights.
They play Pittsburgh, and they play Houston. They play all the really good teams back then as well. So, yeah, that's what's going on in wrestling. I'm trying to look for some updates here. They were advertising Roman Reigns. Oh, wait a minute. I do have an update for the Crown Jewel pay-per-view on the 22nd. You ready?
Okay.
These are the matches that have been announced so far.
Okay.
Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley in a homicide match.
Which is legal, by the way, there.
That's right. No, not only legal, encouraged. Are you kidding?
Legally.
That's a tough one, Bryant. For the Saudi Arabian crowd, will they want to see the Jew die or the black guy? Very difficult. Hmm. Very tough. We're not really sure how the Saudi Arabian crowd's going to.
That's kind of like that Patriots Buccaneers game the other night.
Exactly. I don't know who I want to lose. They're going to vote inside the stadium. Oh, the Jew takes it on the chin. That's unfortunate. Well, it had to happen. We gave him a shot there. I'm okay with it. Give me another million. Go ahead. I'm fine with it. If you want Heyman, you can have him too. I don't care. Throw in all the Jews. Are we going to go through the controversy again about women making this trip and shit like that? Because I don't think we are. I think that's already been settled, hasn't it? We already lost that war, didn't we?
It hasn't really been noted, so I'm assuming, yeah.
It's not. It's a non-starter.
Yeah, it's a.
If you want the check, you leave the beaches at home. Okay, that is all I have to say for today. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. Loser has to take that son Gage home. What? That's not the stipulation. No, it's a no holds barred match. Big E will take on Big D. Did you like it when he called himself Big D tonight?
That was pretty shifty there, Drew.
I bet you do have a Big D there, Mr. Subtle.
Mr. D.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure that's what he calls it.
Either that or he's referring to Dallas. Wink, wink.
You want to meet Mr. D?
You guys, everybody in that writing staff, I don't know what your geek's name is. Write it down. Make a note. Next time we're in Dallas, he's going to say, Big D is in the Big D. Write it down. Next time SmackDown comes to Dallas. RK Bro against AJ Styles and Edward James Olmos. It is a tag team match for
Edward James Olmos.
Well, I don't even know, man. When they bring Olmos over there, they're going to be scared shitless of him. I don't know. I don't know. They could probably have like a photo op where he holds a couple of kids on his arms and shit, and he could probably make a lot of money.
Kids would be like this.
If they fucking booked Olmos for this thing and they think they're going to hold them hostage like they did that one, I mean, like, no, I don't think. I do not believe we'll be holding them hostage this time. I do not want the gigantic black man to kill me. Okay. You can go back to the United. You can go back to Infidel Land. Jesus. Yeah, I don't think they're going to try to keep him hostage in some fucking hotel room.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Yeah, again, that is a tag team match for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Becky against Bianca versus Sasha. They are going to have women.
How about that?
This can end up very badly. I don't see you know, for a while, for a minute, the Saudis acted like they were going to play nice, you know? They had that big, hey, it's our 2030 plan or whatever the fuck it was. We're going to modernize. We're going to let women have like a sip of beer once a decade. We're going to let them like read a book once a year if they want to. Now I don't think the Saudis are, as we say, not playing. So this match may be one of those that they record at the Performance Center and just show. And they try to like blur most of it in the stadium, because I don't see how that's going to happen.
Didn't they have a women's match there? Didn't somebody hit the?
They like, did once, because they covered them from head to toe, and they looked like fucking Wonder Woman or something.
Yeah,
like they looked like the what is it? The Captain Marvel costume on Brie Larson or something. Everything was covered, and it was still like, you know. Making all the Saudi guys fairly rapey. So I don't see how that's going to happen. But, you know, if you're a producer with that company, I would like to see Bruce Pritchard like try to throw himself in front of a marauding horde of people trying to come after those women. Good luck with that. Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus Brock Lesnar. Yep, it's another Hebrew to piss off the masses, as this is a singles match for that WWE Universal Championship. That is your lineup that's been announced so far for Crown Jewel, October the 26th, on Peacock, because it is Peacocktober, Bryant.
Is it now?
It is Peacocktober, as opposed to Rocktober.
I am excited that Halloween is coming out on Peacock. That's pretty exciting. The Halloween nice. Kills.
Yeah. Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning edition of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
I did see today, I don't know if you saw that, superstar Bill Dundee is coming to WrestleCade, and I'm happy about that, because I am making a point to go talk to that man this time. So
yeah, I think I'm going to get my picture made with that guy too.
Yeah, definitely. Got to, man.
We'll tell him how much we miss his son-in-law too, and how we really got to talk to him. He was
and
the
his,
greatest.
And his daughter, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely got to. Yeah, we got to make a point of that for sure.
Yeah, because I don't. You know, every time I see somebody like him, I think about the Bobby Heenan thing when you and I were standing there going,
"Oh yeah, it was a sad moment." And if they're somehow able to get Caudle out there, we got to talk to Bob Caudle again for sure.
Yeah, we got to.
Because time's running short, man.
Time's running short.
We're being reminded of that all the time, aren't we?
All the time, every fucking day, dude.
Bryant is followable on social media at Bryce Sports on Twitter and on Instagram, BRY Sports. He is on the TikTok, Stanley Jackson 23. I am on Twitter, Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE. On Instagram, it's BDub for Reels, BDUB, number 4RELZ. And our show Twitter is at Katie Vick Alive. If you'd like to follow the Brad and Britt cast, which is my politics thing, which is 4 days a week, at Brad and Britt. And that is downloadable pretty much anywhere you get a podcast. So we certainly do appreciate all your support for that podcast and also for this podcast. And you can shop at our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. That's katievick.com. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.